I wonder if you hear what I'm saying. I wonder if you recognize it's me. My heart believes there's parts that haven't faded, that somewhere in there's a you you used to be. It hurts like hell to lose you slow, but I keep holding on to hope. 'Cause we're all just one heartbeat from heaven, but I pray you're many from your last, and I'm clinging to the memories you don't have. You can't see.
You just heard a snippet of the brand new single One Heartbeat from Heaven by country star Gord Bamford. Multiple CMA and 26-time CCMA award winner, Gord Bamford stays true to the country sound that has helped define his decorated career with the release of his new single One Heartbeat from Heaven, which was produced by Bamford and Phil O'Donnell. The emotionally infused track from his new studio album that's coming out is called Fire It Up, which is due out on April 28th via Anthem Records. This incredible new song embraces themes of caregiving, loss, compassion, empathy, and most important, hope. An expression of gratitude, love, and support for those that are in our lives. What a life-changing song this is. Here to talk about the new single and his new studio album that is coming out on the 28th of April is country star Gord Bamford. Hi, Gord.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks.
It is so great to have you on the show. I've been so looking forward to talking to you about your new single.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your journey in music first. When you started the journey chasing this dream in music, what was music and what it stood for you and the kind of music you wanted to release to the fans?
I mean, when I grew up, well, I guess back when I got into country music, I mean, it was kind of the, you know, the early 90s, so it was really like, you know, Alan Jackson, George Strait, you know, Garth Brooks, Tim McGraw, you know, some, you know, still going today, but it was more, you know, Merle Haggard. It was more traditional country, I guess you could say, but you know, still country that resonates larger than anything else today. So for me, kind of got into it back then when it was that sort of thing. But it's interesting to see how it's all evolved since then. But yeah, it was kind of all the rage back in the early 90s. Everybody was into country music.
Yeah, it's changed. The landscape for sure has changed in country music. It has evolved so much over the years with influences of country living, I think, for you too, that impact of what that's had on your career. Can you touch base a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was born in Australia. A lot of people don't know that, but my mom and dad divorced when I was five, and I moved back to Alberta, and I was raised on a Western lifestyle type, you know, type upbringing for me. My mom's brothers all farmed, and I grew up on a farm and spent a lot of time with my uncle Gord, actually, who kind of raised me. But the Western heritage was always instilled in me as a young guy, and it kind of never left me. So I was pretty lucky that way to have that support and grow up with that around me for sure.
I love your new show. Absolutely love it because I'm a fishing girl for sure. I've grown up doing it, you know, with my father, and I carried it on with my son. And it's just something that's such a big part of my life. But country living is just something different that you come back to. I know you hear it all the time where people are just, oh, I can't wait to get off the farm and move into the city and all this other stuff that you hear so many of the young kids saying today. But
yeah,
somehow they always end up going back to those roots. And it means so much. It's that grounding that country living brings.
Yeah, I think there's all sorts of different country living, I guess. You kind of see it in our show there, but a lot of it, you know, I learned a lot of stuff when I was younger, you know, different things to expect and do, you know, from that sort of upbringing. And I mean, I live out on the lake now, but it's not, we don't have cattle and horses around us, but there's a lot of the ethics of real country living that I guess you can say, you know, transform into just being out on like a lake property or, mm-hmm. or out of the city, I guess you can say. Yeah.
The sounds alone, the smells alone.
I think it's pretty quiet out here. It's nice and nice and quiet. There's not much around.
I love that peace though. There's just something that you can't, there's just no money in the world that can buy, you know, something that.
Especially after the last couple of years we all went through, you know, I found myself really reflecting on that component of it and how fortunate we were to be, you know, in a spot where, you know, we were kind of isolated, mm-hmm. I guess you can say, and not, you know, I felt sorry for some of those folks that were, you know, especially those students or people that living in areas where it's just house after house after house. I mean, which is fine too, but this felt really fortunate to be able to kind of, outside of not being able to play music and do my job, it wasn't much different for us on a day-to-day living, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. And being on the waterfront like that too, it's just such a beautiful spot you have.
For sure it is. Yeah, we're lucky.
Talk about reflecting, like you were saying right there, that you were reflecting, you know, on just the values and the simple life and just being so grateful for where you are, which is something that really stems in a lot of the music that you choose. And, you know, those real life emotions, songs that stand the test of time, but have that modern combined to it too, that everybody can relate to. I just call that true country.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, I think that, you know, 2 decades into this thing for me, which makes me sound like I'm really old, but I'm not that old. I mean, I feel like I'm just getting started, but I think I was really fortunate to get into the business at the time I did, mm-hmm. you know, and I think having to grind it out and really find my own way, you know, I got turned down by every record label for years, and then just, you know, chase the dream, like that cliche that they say, if you work hard, you chase the dream, it happens, and then all of a sudden, things started happening, and I ended up, you know, basically tailoring my own record deal with Sony, which was a great partnership we had for 13 years. And but it happened the hard way. It didn't happen the easy way. And
that's
sometimes
right.
The hard way is what makes it better. And I find the more you can kind of control your destiny and have a say in what you believe in and what you do, the more success you have. And sometimes that can go the other way too. I mean, if you're too hard headed, but mm-hmm. for me, it was kind of a luck and also meant to be, maybe, like, just, you know, stay the course. And I feel like I've stayed the course on my music, you know. This is our 12th record I think we're going to put out here pretty quick in April, but I feel like I've stayed the course on my type of sound and my type of music, obviously moving with the times of I guess what's a little more current sounding, but mm-hmm. you know, still staying with the type of lyric in a song and type of message in a song that, like you just said, stands the test of time. I think that's the hardest thing to find in a song, but it's also the best thing to do, and is also what gives you longevity in your career. So I think for me, I've been able to be influenced by so many great songwriters, number one, and producers and people that I've been able to collaborate with that believe in my style and my type of music. And I guess I've never been a follower. I've always tried to be a leader. So I think that's helped me too.
Well, you have picked some pretty credible songs over your career in these 2 decades. And I think that's what has built the fan base that has stuck true and
for sure.
loved your music from the get-go when you started in this industry. But when you take a look at success, okay, when you first started out and what that dream was for you, and you hear something like you hear people say all the time on radio, when you hear the words Gord Banford, the most awarded artist in country music, and with multiple Juno Award nominations. You've got CMA. You've also got CMC. You've got 26 times CCMA wins. You're up for more this year again. Over 85 million streams and 5 billion audience impressions on the radio globally. What does success look like? What it started out like when you first started the stream and what it looks like today for Gord Bamford now?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't even realize all those stats. So thanks just for filling me in. So I think that kind of says it. It's like, I just like going, I like going to my job every day. I mean, this is what I do. I love making a living at things I like and enjoy. I mean, so many people can't stand going to work in the morning. I love getting up. I do get up in the morning, and we do lots of business, and we're tied into the business side of it pretty good. But I think just the fact that people continue to buy tickets and come to shows and send their, you know, nowadays send their messages through social media of how songs have impacted, especially this last one's been incredible. But
huge.
Just that. I mean, that's the measurement of success. I mean, of course, at one point we lived in Nashville and I chased down that dream there, and you know, it was, you know, I didn't have a really good experience that way. But for me, it's like, I don't really care if we play for 300 people in a small town hall or, you know, 20,000 people at a music festival or an arena. I mean, it's all just work. It's all just people and people wanting to buy tickets to hear great music. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at. It's just, and it's like my day-to-day job. I it's my paycheck, you know, so I can't raise a family and pay my bills without going to work. Just like anybody else goes to work. I just happen to be able to sing songs and write them and entertain for people, which is a pretty cool job.
Well, when you look at what so many artists that have hit as big as it gets, and when they strip it all away and they, you know, that grind that you have to go through when you're on the road like that and you're going from the big stadiums like that, it becomes a blur. And they talk about it all the time. They don't live in the moment because it's just so much travel. Like, there's just so much of a grind. Yeah. When you look at your career with all the success that you've had, I think, you know, it's so refreshing to hear someone at the stage in your career, because like you're right at the top of the game right now. And to hear you say that now, like playing for those small communities, playing for those smaller stages and the bigger stages, and they mean just as much to you. That's pretty cool to hear that at this point in your career.
Yeah, I mean, it all started there, and it seems to all be coming back there, you know, and especially after COVID. I mean, we're really, me and our foundation and what we do are really big in giving back. Mm-hmm. We do lots of that stuff. So with these small community shows, it's really a partnership, and we raise dollars for them, for their communities, and give back to them. And, you know, there's always that, I have arguments all the time with booking agents, and they tell you that you're saturating the market, but it's like, it's totally the opposite. Like, they love your show, they come to the next show.
That's right.
Tell me. Yeah. It just, so it's a bit different approach than normal, but I mean, we're booked into next summer already, like with people that want to have these shows and be a part of a event that is great for the communities. And for me, it's just, you know, when can I go to work? I mean, I just want to go play music and go to my job. I mean, most people work at least 5 days a week. We don't, as musicians, like, I mean, we may work. We don't do that, but why not? Like, why can't we go out and play, right?
We can't wait until you come to Southern Ontario.
Waiting too long. It's happening. We're coming out. We're out there. Canadian Dirt Tour, which gets launched here pretty quick, is going to be right across Canada. So we're out there this fall, Boston, Ontario. So, and we love it out there. So can't wait either.
I can't wait, because I want to be able to come back and do a live interview with you and not do it this way for a change.
Yeah, no problem.
That would be so nice.
No problem.
So nice. We always get excited when you're coming on the stage. The one stage I would love to see you on is the Grand Ole Opry. When's that happening?
Yeah, you know, me too. That's kind of a bucket list for me. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. It's probably hard to get on the Opry. I mean, we haven't really put our heads down and really went after it, but it's something that would be pretty cool, I think. I mean, we were supposed to maybe play the Ryman here
nice.
In March, but that that didn't pan out, but yeah, definitely want to play the Opry at some point. I mean, the mother church of country music, and I think be great from my end to be able to do that. And a lot of people have asked about it, so I'm sure there'll be a lot of Canadians join us, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's one I'd love to be in the audience for. That one for sure. Let's talk about the music and the songs that you pick, because it's really important. Because to me, when I think of Gord Bamford and I think of the songs that I've loved over the years, I always think about how much of an impression your songs leave for me in my mind, like right away. And then it kind of lingers.
Yeah.
It lingers in my head. And that's what draws in the emotional side, that unexpected side, that, you know, you're conjuring that deeper meaning in life, but in a humbling way. So it's really special, your music.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. I mean, I've always just had a really good teacher back when I started, a guy by the name of Byron Hill, who kind of took me under his wing and produced, you know, my first few records that really kind of defined who I was. And he taught me how to write songs and what was important about writing songs. And his main thing was just to keep it simple. And, you know, that's kind of, that was easy for me to understand because that was what I've always done, you know, in my life. It doesn't matter what you do. I just try to keep it simple. And I've never really set out to pick a song or write a song that, you know, was personal to me. I mean, I've always looked at it as a listener myself, going like, what would that person want it here? Like, what would give them a little break from the day to go, man, that really song really hit me, or yeah, that's true. So I've always kind of come from that approach and thought about what they would want to hear. And most of the time it's what I want to hear anyway. So it kind of works out that way.
Well, the thing too, is that you've got your footprint, but you've also got your pulse on the communities all around you. And that makes such a difference when it ties into being able to connect with fans everywhere. Because it doesn't matter what kind of job you have, we still have that same core value and our same core needs.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch base a little bit more with some of the music, because I wanted to talk about your deluxe diamond edition for Diamonds in the Whiskey Glass. That features so many songs that people related to. It is still one of the top requested songs that we get off an album. And let's start with Heaven on Dirt. Let's talk about that one.
Yeah, well, the Diamonds in a Whiskey Glass collection was recorded. It's kind of an accident because we recorded like 30 some odd songs pre-pandemic. And I hate talking about the pandemic, but it is what it is. And we had all these songs and we had all these plans to release all this music. And of course the Redneck record didn't come out, and some of that, well, all that stuff never came out, and it got delayed. And then we had another project got delayed. So finally, when the Diamonds in a Whiskey Glass project came out, we had so much more music just there and done, you know, oddly enough. And that's how the Diamonds Deluxe was born. But, yeah, a lot of great songs that I actually had a lot of those songs, probably I'm going to say 3 or 4 years sitting there. So some new, but most not, and just knowing that I was going to release them at some point. But Diamonds in a Whiskey Glass was a song written by Buddy Owens, like one of my close friends, songwriter friends from Nashville, and him and I have written a lot of songs together, Leaning on a Lonesome Song and a bunch of stuff that people would know. But yeah, he wrote that all by himself one night. I remember when he sent it to me, because I listened to it the next morning and, you know, I just kind of got chills and phoned him. I said, man, like, who'd you write that with? He said, I wrote it myself. I said, well, how come he didn't phone me with that idea? It was a great song. But yeah, you know, I kind of, songs like that, just, they're hard to come by.
So. I was going
to
say, once in a lifetime when those ones roll across, right?
Yeah, I was lucky for that one, and still probably one of my favorites to date.
When my down gets tough, I find a way to cope. Drag myself right back up from the end of my rope. I pour a strong one
let it do its thing. I don't give a damn, takes over. She's not so right, I'm not so wrong. And I get less sober, she gets less gone. And all broken pieces of our past shine like diamonds in a whiskey glass. All the lines I've crossed just gradually blur, and it ain't all my fault for losing her. What was heaven starts to fade, and I'm better off anyway. I don't give a damn, takes over. She's not so right, I'm not so wrong. And I get less sober, and she gets less gone. Shine like diamonds in a whiskey glass. Shine like diamonds in a whiskey glass.
Nice, because there's so many on this deluxe. And it's just incredible when you're looking at how many songs. They have just been fan favorites for so long. Some of mine, incredible songs. You did a lot of collaborations on this one too. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, you know, that was the thing with all that music. Like, what could we do what could we do a little different? And obviously, I had that song with Jess Moskaluk, and
which a killer was great. Song. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was, and we released that to radio. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's such a different landscape now with mm-hmm. how people hear music. Obviously, it's just not radio, and you know, radio. You know, radio has been really good to me for years and years and years, and you know, seem to be a tougher gauge for me right now. But you know, I'm also finding, you know, that all my dedicated fan base over the last couple of decades is growing and growing. But we're getting new fans and fans that of songs that are just album cuts. You know, because mm-hmm. they're finding them on digitally, right? They're streaming them and downloading them. So that's nice. You know, one of the songs that we put out was a duet with Terry Clark, which was kind of
one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a great. You know, that song wasn't a duet, and it was cut. I just cut it, and I really liked it. And you know, I thought, man, I've always wanted to do something with Terry. I mean, she's a
icon, you know, Canadian icon. Yeah,
for us. And so I sent it to her, and she loved it, and we reworked it a bit, and yeah, it was a pretty cool moment. We had planned to tour together. Obviously, that got all with everything went down. That never happened. Who knows if it does? But that was kind of one of the exciting pieces to it. She got busy, you know, after that, and I did too. But yeah, that was cool to have that.
A real cool twist in that song.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and depends how you take it. I mean, some people look at that as a drinking song, but it's
I don't
not.
Think so. It's a relationship it's song.
Exactly.
That's what I feel anyway.
That was a dig for maybe someone listening to this that will hear it. But
I love
it's definitely a relationship song.
I love the video because it draws out all the emotions too. It's such a cool video.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, I look at it, I don't know, it's got that 90s feel to it, but definitely a relationship song, 100%. But that modern twist.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is. I mean, and that's what you're going to get with Gord Bamford songs. You're going to get a pretty much a 90s feel with a modern sound and record. I mean, that's what I am. So, And that's what's built the foundation of who I am, and continues to build it. So that's what you'll get from my stuff for sure. I've never been a trend follower.
Mm-mm.
At all, you know, so that's kind of where I'll be. In fact, at some point I'd like to cut a real country record again and scare people a little bit.
Ooh, that sounds good to me. That mm-hmm. sounds really good to me. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the hit single, I Ain't Drunk, by country superstar Gord Bamford featuring country icon Terry Clark, here on Music's Journey.
Yeah, you left me, but you'll be coming back. I can tell by how light you packed. I ain't lonely, just didn't want to be alone. By the time I get back, you'll be home. And it's more coke than Jack here in this glass. I'm tipping back round after round. I ain't smoking, I'm just holding cigarette to my lips till it goes out. I didn't mean to put on that haunted jukebox song, just hit the number wrong. I know what you're thinking, I ain't drunk, I'm just drinking.
I know it's 2 p.m., just came to be killing time, ain't killing me right now. Didn't want to put the miles on my truck anyway. That's why I took a cab to Losers today.
And it's more coke than Jack here in this glass. I'm tipping back round after round. I ain't smoking, I'm just holding this cigarette.
That was the hit single, I Ain't Drunk, by my very special guest, country superstar Gord Bamford, featuring country star Terry Clark, off the deluxe diamond edition of Diamonds in a Whiskey Glass album. Man, I'm telling you, you can't get enough of this album. If you haven't listened to it, I encourage everybody to listen to it from front to back. There is so many songs that are being missed, and man, there is some golden songs in that. Such a great album. That's one thing that I think when we were looking at all the streaming platforms that everybody hears now, is just so many songs. I think that streaming platform opens things up to, and being able to have new listening audiences that are starting to listen to some of the songs. Yeah, I know for sure. Mm-hmm.
Even my kids are, you know, putting me on to artists I've never heard of before. You know, that's where they're finding it. And it's great stuff, like, you know, the Zach Bryan stuff and all that great stuff that, you know, you wouldn't hear on the radio that, you mm-hmm. know, get found and doing extremely well.
That's why I keep telling everybody, make sure you share, because you just never know. You know, if that song's on there, it means something to you. It's amazing how that trickles down into so many new fans around the world, yeah. Like globally. It's just such a cool experience. Talk about Heaven on Dirt.
Yeah, Heaven on Dirt was, I said to you earlier that I don't really record songs personally, but I mean, if there was ever a personal song for me that I listened to, that's so me. I mean, that was it right there. So it was a song that I actually owned in my publishing catalog. I have a bunch of songs in there that actually Buddy Owens had written that I had published him for years. And, you know, we'd pitched that song to Blake Shelton, and we thought we were going to get
it. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, we thought we were going to get some bigger traction on that song, and thought it'd be good for a couple different artists before I decided to record it. But I always loved it, and it was always very, well, very lucky.
We talk about that simple way of life, and that's what it brings to the forefront, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was the pandemic again that kind of got me back to that song and going, like, what we talked about earlier, that it's like, man, I got to cut this song. Like, this is, here we are. We're all locked down in the world right now. We can't leave our houses. And here I am sitting on a piece of heaven on dirt, and I can kind of go wherever I want because there's really nobody around. So, yeah, I felt like that was
perfect was the right timing. Time. Sometimes there's just a reason why things don't get released, and this one just seemed to be perfect timing. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Heaven on Dirt by country superstar Gord Bamford here on Music's Journey.
It's a tin roof on a front porch, hound dog at the screen door. How could anybody want more than a little piece of heaven on dirt? You roll up in your off-road underneath that halo. Can't hide with camo, my little piece of heaven on dirt. Coyotes howling hallelujah, sundown saying I saw the light. Sliding my rocking chair next to you, swear I've never been this high by your side. Feels like I found my heaven on dirt. Chickens pecking in the backyard, chicken picking on a guitar. Going fishing when it gets dark, oh, it sounds like heaven on dirt. Coyotes howling hallelujah, sundown saying I saw the light. Sliding my rocking chair next to you, swear I've never been this high by your side. Feels like I found my heaven on dirt. This old they can have their high rise, concrete and bright lights. Long as I'm on this side, get me here and you in that flannel shirt. Ain't nothing worth this kind of church. It's like heaven on dirt. Can you hear that? Hear that? Baby, can you? Chair next to you, swear I'd never been so high by your side. Feels like I found my
That was Heaven on Dirt by my very special guest, country superstar Gord Bamford, off his studio album, Diamonds in the Whiskey Glass. It is such an important one, too. This is just one that leads to so many other songs, Fishing and Drinking Along Song, that were other big hits for you off this album. Let's talk about Drink Along Song, because you're up for Single of the Year for this one right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that song, oddly enough and kind of sadly, was recorded by Montgomery Gentry, that song. And it was going to be, our first U.S. cut, or it was our first U.S. cut. And it was actually going to be a single just prior to Troy passing away in that helicopter crash. It was going to single, I think, the next couple weeks after that. So,
wow.
That was a tragic thing, obviously, and you know, the song never did come out, but it was on that record, and we really liked it, and I thought it'd be a good gesture to, you know, maybe release it off a record and kind of honor those guys a little bit. So that I cut that song, and I also thought it was a great commercial song, you know, and thought it would do well, and it did really well here in Canada and over in Australia. And yeah, it's interesting, because there is some comments of people talking about the Montgomery Gentry cut on it, and they're right. Yeah, it's the same song. So, but it was our song.
Well, I love it, because the cool music video that goes with this, that's stepping outside of your comfort zone for sure.
Yeah.
That was such a cool concept.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to go with the flow.
What did you think when you heard what they wanted to do?
I mean, like I said, sometimes you just got to go with the flow. It was definitely out of the norm, but you know what? It worked, and some people loved it. And I mean, the traditional people that weren't used to seeing that probably didn't like it a whole bunch, but they brought a new demo to the, you know, to the listening of that song. And yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was fun to watch.
Well, I was surprised when I was first watching it. Wait a second. And then I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I heard so many of the fans talking about it. And yeah, you definitely hit a new demographic with that one. It was so cool. We're going to play this one right now. Here is Drink Along Song by country star Gord Bamford here on Music's Journey.
Songs that belong when you're rolling down an old dirt road. The wheels just seem to turn up that old radio. Songs that make you want your baby back. Nah, this ain't no song like that.
Keep 'em coming all night long.
That was Drink Along, sung by my very special guest, country superstar Gord Bamford, off his album Diamonds in a Whiskey Glass. This song was released as a single in September, I think, in 2021, right? And yeah. And this is one that you are up for right now for Single of the Year for the Country Music Alberta Awards. And you're also up for Male Artist of the Year as well.
Yeah.
Congratulations on all of that. Yeah. You deserve it. That's just one. I'm every year, if you're not up there as Male Artist of the Year, I just have to stop and shake my head. I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. I mean, it's kind of nice to be recognized. And, you know, the Alberta music scene and their awards, you know, they've been doing a great job to, you know, keep elevating it and, and, you know, they're bringing more and they really cater to the independent artists, which is great. You know, they can really building talent here in Alberta. So, you know, for us artists that are established to have a few categories to be a part of is always nice, and to be there to support it is good for those artists that are coming up as well. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that you were talking about is like the new demographic and everything. What do you think attributes to your success in this business remaining at the forefront of country music?
Well, I think there, you always will be. I mean, you look at, I mean, I hope that I think, I hope that we are. I mean, if you look at the greats out there that were, I mean, true iconic country greats, you're talking about Reba McEntire and you're talking about George Strait. You're talking about Merle Haggard. You're talking about Johnny Cash. You know, you're talking about, you know, Dolly Parton. I mean, Alan Jackson. I mean, those are legendary names that our kids' kids will come to know one day. And that, I think that says it all right there. You know, it's just some of those. And there's not many of them. I mean, you get the odd act like that that becomes this iconic figure. But they seem to all trend back to, I won't say what country music is, but what country music will
resembles.
Always be.
Yeah.
You know, and there's always room for different sounds and types of it. And I think it brings more listeners in and everybody wins. So I don't think that will ever change. You know, it seems to, right now, it honestly feels like the 90s country sound is kind of moving back in a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
I think so too, because you're hearing a lot of the young artists starting to explore, especially over COVID, and playing with the sounds from classic and Merle Haggard and all the ones, you know, Alan Jackson.
Well, really, you know, the singer-songwriter type sounds is what they're, a lot of them are liking, which is, you know, I'll say like not folk, but kind of in the middle, you know, of that sort of rootsy type stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, I really, really like that. With all of the success you've had in your career, what was the one piece of advice that you were given when you started out? And what advice would you give a young Gord now?
I mean, just keeping it simple was a good one for me, but, and I've made this mistake. I mean, I haven't lived up to this advice, but you know, I think treating people the way you always want to be treated is the best way to go. I mean, I've tried my best to do that. I've definitely failed in that, you know, at some points in my career and said some things or done some things that I maybe shouldn't have. But sometimes when you look back on it and go, you know, just how would you feel if that person talked to you that way or acted that way or did that to you that way? So I don't think you can ever be bigger than the people in front of you and the people that believe in you and help you. So it's not easy. I mean, you're going to run into all sorts of people that, you know, try to drag you down, but
most definitely,
you know, I think if you surround yourself with the right people and good people, then you can kind of do anything you want, right?
Well, I think people are quick to jump on that stuff because of social media. And I think if they turn around and look at their own lives and how many times they have hurt somebody or said something that, you know, wasn't appropriate, or, you know, we all do it.
I wish social media didn't exist. I mean, I never really voiced my, I try to stay neutral on especially politics or anything like that. I mean, I know how I feel, but
me too.
I mean, there's a lot of revenue being made off of social media, in places that don't need to be made. And I mean, I see some of the pros and cons to it, but I'm still I'd rather sit down and talk to you one-on-one or have a dinner with you or coffee with you or drink with you and do business that way than have to, you know, be on my devices all day long and
Yeah, it changes.
Figured out, so, yeah.
It changes so everybody's lives, right?
When you see it with the younger generation, I mean, especially having kids, like, you know, I don't know. It's, they don't, yeah, they don't. You can find anything you want on social media. It's easy to find stuff, harder to learn, I think, when you don't have to put the effort in.
Well, true. And when it comes to the kind of background that I have, that my upbringing, the relationships that I formed in my life, they mean something to me. It's not something that, hey, that person's upset me today. I'm going to, you know, they're out of my life and you hold that grudge. It's just, that's all you hear today. Same thing in marriages. It's just different, you know, for me and the upbringing that I have. And I value those life lessons and those core values. So I'm hoping it changes back. I really do.
Yeah, well, who knew we were going to have SNAP?
That's right. Well, you know what? When I watch your shows, it just makes me laugh, and it just brings a smile to my face and just what life's about. It's just
really enjoy it.
Okay, we have to talk about the new single. This one, the moment that I heard this one, the moment I heard it, my heart just poured out because it's such an incredible song. I believe it's a life-changing song. This one is going to stand the test of time for so many people because it can draw on different meanings in the song. We know what it was intended for, but there's so many people in life right now that are going through stuff that can relate to the song. It doesn't matter what age group it is. You can attach anything to this one. But man, what a special song. Special song.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that. And I mean, I think, well, we've just never had a response like this before ever when it comes down to a song. And again, you know, it's been a struggle at radio, which is frustrating, but, you know, the people are talking and it's been really impactful. That song, the song actually was titled, we changed the title of that song. It was called Worse Things Than Dying.
Oh, really?
To begin with. Yeah. And then, we felt that, and I actually got thinking like there can't be anything worse than dying, you know? So it's a little weird. And I knew where the song was going, and actually the label picked up on it and then suggested One Heartbeat from Heaven, which I thought was a
brilliant,
like a little bit better title. And I mean, it's not a song to, it's definitely not a song to be sad about. I mean, it's a song that, you know, I think helps people heal or reflects on, or is a song that makes you reflect on, you know, memories that you had in the past of somebody that maybe may not be here anymore, and makes you smile, right? Or makes you think again. And I think it's one of those stand the test of time type songs that can really tug at your heartstrings and lyrically make you go, I
cry our eyes out.
Yeah.
Ball our eyes out every time we hear it.
Yeah.
It definitely has that impact. There's no doubt about it. There's two things that immediately come up to mind for me when I heard the lyrics of the song. And that was my cousin, Cindy Banks, because she wrote and produced a CBC documentary when it came to following four Canadian families over the course of the year, documenting daily care for patients and, you know, loved ones that they had in their lives that, you know, had dementia. And my godfather died of that. And it was just such a difficult journey. And talking about the caregivers and the support and everything that they need going into what caregivers do. And then when my mom had a stroke, I brought her home. I did not want her. She was at end of life, leaving the hospital. And they wanted to put her in palliative care. And I went, no, not happening. I won't do that. Yeah. She's coming home with me. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy journey, but I will cherish those days for as long as I live. And what people need with compassion and empathy for one another, because a lot of the times our older generation get put into nursing homes and they're not seen. I've seen that so many times where family just kind of forgets and goes about their life and they don't see them that often. And it's just, we need to have more love and understanding and compassion in our time. And It's just brought up a whole world of things for me. And I am so grateful that you chose to release this song.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that that's been good for you.
I've heard so many people that have lost someone to suicide, to, you know, so many different things that have happened, that are happening in their lives with people that they care about, whether it's a neighbor, a friend, or a sibling, family member. It's just so many stories attached to this. What did it feel like for you? What was the impression the song gave to you when you first heard it?
Well, I mean, it was all those things. I mean, it was there. I mean, I kind of know the writers on it, so I kind of knew the backstory of why they wrote it, which made me think of that right away.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of the writers of that song, his wife was going through stage 4 cancer when they wrote it, and you know, she's in remission now, which is great. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so it was pretty, and I knew him really good, so it was, you know, it was an eye opener. And but I mean, I've had fan mail and messages sent in from little teenage girls that lost their puppy. I mean, and the song meant something to them. So it can be anything, you know. I think that's the power behind the music and lyrics. And you know, a little girl may not feel what a grown person is feeling through that song, but you know, she does through her animals, you know. So it's just the power of music, really.
Universal language. Universal language that we all have in common, and we never know what is going on in someone's life, but it's just this type of song. It just just brilliant and incredible. Now, the song was written by Buddy Owens and Galen Griffin, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you produce all of your music. Now, talk about bringing in David Breton and the choir, adding that uplifting, soulful performance in this song. Talk about that.
So that was an idea that Helen Murphy had, president of the label at the time. And she had obviously loved the song and was kind of, you know, calling it the song being a universal viral song. She thought it was like We Are the World type thing, you know, and I guess it could be, but I mean, she had the connection with David and had played him the song. I'd never met him and he phoned, actually. He just picked up the phone, phoned me, and was really, you know, pleasant and I guess complimented of the song and my vocals and he really wanted to be part of it. And obviously when he said that, I was kind of blown away and thought it would add such a great element to it. And it obviously did. So I'm hoping to meet him one day. I've never met him. So
wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice for you to do that?
I've talked to him, but you know, that's technology these days. You know, you don't have to be there to do it, but it's cool for him to, you know, a guy like that to really, you know, say the things he did to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then want to be a part of it. It was awesome. So, and I think they did a great job.
We're going to play this one right now. My favorite song on radio right now. And that is One Heartbeat from Heaven by country star Gord Bamford here on Music's Journey.
I wonder if you hear what I'm saying. I wonder if you recognize it's me. My heart believes there's parts that haven't faded, that somewhere in there's the you you used to be. It hurts like hell to lose you slow, but I keep holding on to hope. 'Cause we're all just one heartbeat from heaven, but I pray you're many from your last, and I'm clinging to the memories you don't have. You can't see the tears that I keep hiding. If I said I wasn't broken, I'd be lying, watching you go. Now I know there's worse things than dying.
I remember when you told me where you're going. So why am I afraid to say goodbye? Your faith was strong enough to keep me growing when my world was just too dark to see the light.
See the light.
You had enough to get me through. Now it's my turn to carry you. You can't see the tears that I keep hiding. If I said I wasn't broken, I'd be lying. Watching you go, now I know there's worse things than dying. Like living knowing that your angel soul is halfway home. Like holding hands and telling you it's okay to let go. You'll get your wings and soon you'll be out flying. If I said I wasn't broken, I'd be lying. Watching you go, now I know there's worse things than dying. There's worse things than dying.
That was the profound new single, One Heartbeat from Heaven, by my very special guest, country superstar Gord Bamford. The song was written by Buddy Owens and Galen Griffin. It doesn't get any better than this one. Don't forget you can download One Heartbeat from Heaven to all streaming platforms, and you can also request it at your local country radio station. Don't forget to share this one. Share it for those that you know that are just needing to draw on some comfort and support. It's such a special song. Let's talk about the video for this one. This one is pretty special.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, that was a video that the label put together, and just grabbed, you know, basically decided to grab a bunch of footage that they felt would fit the lyric. And, you know, we went back and forth quite a bit on it, but it's just, you think that you got to do a video and, you know, produce it yourself and, you know, come up with a concept and make it all happen. But, you know, the lyrics of this song really were the concept, and it wasn't hard to, you know, put into practice, you know, different footage, stock footage of things that really mattered in life, because they were all out there, and it was just getting them put together properly that was the tricky part. But it's definitely a video that is not a traditional video. Like I said, you don't, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't make it ourselves, but certainly tugs at the heartstrings, certainly makes you think when you see it. And, you know, yeah, it was great. I really thought it was pretty awesome.
Pretty brilliant. Hats off to you for putting this record out there and choosing to put this one out there, because it is such an incredibly special song. And when your kids are grown up and they have kids, they're going to be always looking at so many of the special songs that you've released in your career so far. It's going to change yeah. so many people. But it's kind of cool when you're listening to generations later listening to your music and how much it's impacted them, and they pass it down to their children. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Very, very cool. Now, you've got a new album coming out. I am so excited about it. That's coming out April 28th, right?
Yep, you bet.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's an exciting record. The record's called Fire It Up, and we're gonna tour it finally across Canada, you know, this year with the Canadian Dirt Tour, and looking forward to our partnership we have through Anthem and Universal right now to market it and get it out there. So yeah, finally, still you know, some new songs that I'd written, but also a bunch that we'd had that were compiled and ready to go. So
should, nice.
Should be fun.
So looking forward to it. We miss you live performance here in Southern Ontario. We cannot wait. Do you have any of those dates up on the website?
Not yet, but so we're announcing the tour, the Canadian Dirt Tour, in two parts. So part one's going to go up here in the next couple of weeks, and then all those dates would be probably more like May that it get announced. But we are coming right across. So we'll be there lots.
Oh, looking forward to it, because you're still doing the kickoff, like the kick COVID in the ass part two, right?
We got one more show on that. Yeah.
And that's on the 25th, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That is just such an awesome opportunity for all of us to be able to see you again here, because it's been way too long. Because I know you do some other special shows, private shows and corporate shows that you do, but we need to see you.
We're on our way. Lots of shows.
So looking forward to it. I know you're doing the cruising country again. So that's what, December 1st to the 8th?
Yeah, that's in Australia. But yeah, we're going to be doing that. That should be fun. Yeah.
That is so nice for you able to go back there every year, right? To do that one?
Yeah, you know, we haven't been back, obviously, because we've got dates there in August this year and then again in December. So yeah, you know, after Easter, it kind of just explodes for us. We're pretty much gone till Christmas busy. So it's better than the other option. So
that's right. And not having any of the shows and not being able to perform. Yeah. Do you have your charity golf tournament coming up?
We do. Yeah. It's in towards third week in June, I think it is this year. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Can you say who's going to be taking part in that?
Oh, well, we haven't reached out yet. So, but we usually have some good celebrities involved in that. And music, so not 100% yet.
Nice.
Sure on that.
Well, at least we know that one's going off. You have raised so much money, over $5 million in 15 years running and counting, to help other communities as well as kids across Canada. That is so incredible.
Yeah, no, it's been really amazing. You know, great committee, great people that help run it. Like I mentioned earlier, you need that. And pretty much went to the moon on what we thought we were going to do with that, but it's crazy. But it's been very rewarding and humbling to see the impact it's made on communities and organizations across Canada. It's been pretty awesome to be a part of that.
Well, we are so happy that we've got an artist like you here in Canada that stands for something like that. 15 years and running. That's hard to come by, because a lot of them come and go. And this is just such a special charity, and, you know, congratulations on all the success and everybody involved.
Yeah. It's still like, I'd say it's 95%, you know, the same people from now to then. Can't get into it. Like I don't know what it is. It's just, I guess it's fun.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. I've been on that end of it. Yeah. It's a lot of work. So I did that for years. So yeah, I definitely understand that. We got to talk a little bit about your show, and that is The Real Country Livin', which, because you are partnered with that Anthem Entertainment, that's one of a kind for them, you know, to be able to put out a show like this and having so much fun, because your family takes part in all that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was tricky, because we'd shot a bunch before the world stopped there, and then try to finish it up, and, you know, kind of got caught in that a little bit. But yeah, it was, you know, it was something that we just wanted people to kind of have a little inside look at, you know, who I am outside of being on the stage and doing what I do there, and that we're just normal people like everybody else, and we have our normal issues like everybody else. And yeah, we kind of had, you know, a bunch of different episodes that we based around that we enjoyed and did, and
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Do you have a favorite place that you like to go fishing?
Well, it's pretty good right up front of the house, to be honest with you. Right now, it's ice fishing.
So jealous.
We do have a shot. The ice fish out of. But it's good fishing here at Buffalo Lake. We it's mainly just pike, like jackfish and ling. But
she's
pretty good, yeah.
Was that your wife that was pulling the pike? You were trying to hand her the pike?
I'm trying to remember I think it might have been my older daughter. Can't remember. But, yeah.
I had such a bad experience. I'm used to fishing for pike all the time. And I used to go to a lot of the places, like a lot of the really small lakes that are hard to get at, you know, for northern pike. But I remember thinking that I had actually killed it so that I could take it home. It was a huge, huge fish for me. Put it in the bathtub. Yeah. And this is like hours later. We're talking probably about 8 hours later. It was still alive.
Oh, jeepers.
And snapped at me from the bathtub. And I remember just like, okay, never underestimate a pike. Nope.
Wow.
Do you have a favorite lure?
You always got to go to that. Red Devil's always a winner, and so are the Five of Diamonds around here. So,
Yeah, those are always the classics, right?
Yeah.
If you could fish anywhere in the world, anywhere, where would it be and why?
I mean, I like more lake fishing, and I mean, there's lots of good lakes in Ontario. Fish. Terry Clark would probably give me a good idea where to go fishing. She loves it, but we just come back from Cabo. We did some marlin fishing. It was pretty awesome. My son, we caught a few marlin, and that was a lot of fun. So
really nice. Very cool. Do you have a favorite song that you grew up with, or a song that you like to sing around the campfire that brings back all the special memories for you?
I mean, anything like George Strait's always good. You know, anything like that is good. I think Much Too Young to Feel This Damn Old. Garth Brooks is one that always comes up. And I'm a big Brooks and Dunn fan. Lots of Brooks and Dunn stuff.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Is there an artist, when you grew up, somebody that made you feel the emotions in a song better than anything else? And if you remember what that song was?
I mean, Merle Haggard was such a great songwriter, you know, and I mean, you want to talk simple. I mean, he was real simple, but probably one of my favorite songs ever is a Haggard song called That's the Way Love Goes.
Oh, right. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably that.
Nice. Is there somebody that you would love to perform with in the U.S.? One of the artists there that you would love to be able to do something with, perform on stage or tour?
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky. I mean, Reba was really good to me. And I mean, I've played with almost a lot of that I'd like to. Off the top of my head now, I mean, oh boy, I'm not sure. I mean, I've kind of been lucky to do it all, but... I mean, I got to play with Blake Shelton at Stampede last year. He was a lot of fun to hang with. I'd love to do some more shows with him. It'd be fun.
I had to interview him, I think it was the first year of Boots and Hearts, and backstage, and I had to drink 2 tequila shots before I was able to interview him. He wouldn't let me interview unless I did the 2 tequila shots.
sounds about right.
That's right. He is so much fun. He is just so much fun. That would have been an experience, and some stories I'm sure you could tell.
he was a good guy.
What is your favorite moment on stage? And that could be, you know, playing at a bar that, you know, you started at, that opened up the door for you and allowed you to play, to, you know, one of the bigger stages that you play on today.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing everybody dig your music and sing along, you know, are pretty special. I mean, and you know, the signs and the stories, I think, and it doesn't matter big or small stage. I mean, but I'll be honest with you, I think my favorite moments on stage are the more intimate, smaller little communities we get to play and see everybody, and just the passion people have for my music. And I mean, they're buying tickets and coming to shows, and it's impacting their lives. I mean, that's the coolest part.
Well, you are definitely a treasure, a Canadian treasure that is always, always going to be a big part of my heart and so many Canadians. So thank you so much for the incredible music. We cannot wait for April 28th. And thank you for releasing this incredible song. Yeah,
thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
We really appreciate you taking time and just giving us a little bit more about what's going on in your life and what these songs meant to you. So thank you for taking that time with me.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Okay. You take care of yourself. We'll see you on the road.
Soon.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, country superstar Gord Bamford, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows that are coming up. I've got singer-songwriter Madeline Merlot that's going to be coming on the show. I've also got Jay Coote, winner of the NBC The Voice. I've also got Bodie from The Voice, Runaway Angels, Anthony Tulo, Rock and Roll Icons Chicago, Rock and Roll Icons Lighthouse, and Rock Legends The Stampeders, Anne Friend, Griffin Palmer, The Prairie States, Dan Davidson, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also catch all the articles, new releases, and new videos and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into the Music's Journey show, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
If I run across a circus leaving town, I'll hitch a ride before they pull the big top down. If I have to share a boxcar with the lions and the clowns, or a shotgun with the drifter from the wrong side of the tracks, trunk full of money and lip foot on the gas, some modern day John Dillinger to get me somewhere fast. Your two arms are too far, so tonight I'm gonna find a boat, a plane, a train. There ain't nothing that I wouldn't do to get to you.
If the road runs out and all I see is blue, I'll build a raft out of driftwood and bamboo. The needle in the compass of my heart is always true.
Ain't no ocean gonna stop me.
Ain't no mountain gonna block me.
I'll fly when I fall till I fall back in your two arms are too far. So tonight I'm gonna find a boat, a plane, a train, a car. You start something, there ain't nothing that I wouldn't do to get to you.
To get to you.